All right, then. Why don't we start hour number three? In the third hour, I've got a conversation with Browns offensive lineman Chris Hubbard. That's coming up in 20 minutes. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need to cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can help you with that. All right, so backtracking. We started the program off by talking about what was literally the most colossal meltdown I've ever seen. I mean, I've been racking my brain all morning long trying to think of a bigger choke job than the Suns nearly losing by 50 at home in Game 7, especially the way they were acting after Game 5. I mean, listen, credit to Luka. Luka was incredible. Absolutely amazing. And no shame in losing to him, even if you did have the best record in the NBA, even if you were 8 games better than anybody else in the NBA, even if you're the team to beat going into the postseason. I mean, that'll happen. Well, especially if you have Chris Paul, then it'll happen a lot. In fact, more than it'll happen to anybody else. He went into that game last night as the only guy ever to blow 4-2-0 leads. Make it 5. Point God, choke God. And no, it's not all on him. However, this is a guy, right? This is the guy who's supposed to steady the ship. This is the guy that's supposed to calm everybody down. This is the guy who's supposed to make the whole thing go. This guy didn't make his first shot until they were down by 40. I have never seen a meltdown or a tank job quite like that. 40! So, credit to Luka, but no credit at all to the Suns or the choke god. I'm not putting it all on him, but you can go ahead and start with him. And when it happens as frequently as it has happened to him, don't tell me it's not also about him. It's not just a matter of always being in the wrong place at the wrong time. 5-2-0 leads. Let me help you close with the math. And if I'm going too fast, you let me know. In order to lose a best of 7, when you're up 2 games to none, you have to lose 4 out of 5 or 4 in a row. How many times have you heard me say when a team gets up 2-0, it's over? It's over. Not it's a series doesn't start until somebody loses or wins on the road. It's over because that team that's trailing 2-0 is not going to win 4 out of 5 times. It's happened 5 times to the point god. Incredible stat. So, no, you're not winning a championship with him. He might find a way to gravy train somebody else to a championship, but the point god is not going to lead anybody to a championship. Not when he turned 37 and started to play like that. And the thing about it that's so amazing is we were all deifying this guy, myself included, 2 weeks ago. Hell, like a week ago, we were talking about this guy's lost almost nothing. Almost nothing. Look at him, orchestrating everything. It could be his time. And then fell right the hell off the earth. And Devin Booker was no better. None of them were. And how about DeAndre Ayton? So where's this guy last night? He played 17 minutes. And when asked about that afterwards, Monty Williams said it was an internal issue. What the hell does that mean? I mean, we're not talking about the Nets that have all sorts of chemistry issues. All of a sudden, now we have internal issues with a team that was 8 games better than the next best team in the NBA? Since when? Unbelievable. Not to mention, that's the guy that they took 2 picks ahead of Luka.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And now he's a restricted free agent to be who wants to get paid but was not on the floor in a game 7 for critical moments. And the guy that absolutely ripped their heart out, showed it to them, made them eat it and laughed in their face was taken after him. That's a bad night for Phoenix.
Eat it, Hud.
A really bad night. And what do you know, man? Jason Kidd has got some coaching chops now. Then he got the NHL. Game 7 was absolutely amazing. I mean, the weekend was because of the Game 7s. This is why when so many of you want to push back so hard when I say the NHL postseason is the best postseason. All right, just take that small sample. You look at this weekend. in the NBA and the Game 7s, and you look at this weekend in the NHL and the Game 7s, if you look at it objectively and you looked at it with an open mind, how can you tell me the NHL wasn't so much better? So much better. It was. It always is. Because every single game, every single period, every single shift matters. And when you get to OT, forget about it. Only in hockey could a goaltender stand on his head, make 64 saves, and still lose. I mean, some of the most compelling bleep ever. And not just in one series either. And there's so much more where that came from. All right, so let me open it up to you. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. It is smack-off season. You need to be in it to win it. You know the rules. It is on June 24th. It is smack-off number 28. If you win that thing, you get $5,000. $5,000 cash. If you come in second place, you get nothing. Let's talk some hockey for a minute. And I've got Chris Hubbard coming up next segment. If you're somebody who still does not seem to understand what's so great about the NHL playoffs, and you keep pushing back, there's really no helping you at this point. Like, at this point, if you're still somebody who doesn't get it, you're probably the same person that needs a description or an explanation as to why free food is a good thing. You probably need me to explain to you why vacations are fun. You probably need me to explain to you why sex is undefeated. If you still are pushing back on the NHL postseason being an amazing thing, I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, wrestling, and keep the pill out of it, and the drug out of it, and Mark in Chicago out of it. Keep that, put that over there. Wrestling was barely a better option than the NHL playoffs this weekend. Speak for yourself, Roman. No, I'm speaking for everybody. That's how good the NHL playoffs were this weekend. They were not just better than the NBA. They didn't just run laps around the NBA. They were almost as good as wrestling. They made NBA games look like nap time. Like sleepy relaxation videos. Five game sevens in a single weekend was always going to be amazing. But four of them ended up being one goal games. Two of them went to overtime, and every single one of them was worth the watch. I mean, it may have been one of the best weekends in the history of that league. Honestly, unless you're in Toronto. And then if you're a Leafs fan, it may have been the worst weekend ever. And one critical moment in Saturday's Game 7 against the Lightning summed up the entire experience for Toronto Leafs fans.
Tavares into the slot. He scores! It's going to be no goal. It's going to be no goal. An interference call on Hall for the pick to allow that open space by John Tavares. Fans have no clue that this goal is getting called back.
Edzo did. Edzo knew. Edzo was all over it. His point that the fans have no idea that this is going to be called back. Having a goal in that situation, and really there is no situation like that situation, a Game 7 situation if you're a Maple Leaf fan. So there is no situation like that. Having a goal waved off is the ultimate kick in the junk. Leafs fan thought they got this huge goal. What they actually got was 2 minutes for interference. Just like Leafs fan thought they were showing up Saturday to see the end of one of the most painful droughts in all of sports. But that's not what happened. Instead, what they got was not the end of a five-decade drought, but instead, more crap shoveled right into their faces and down their collective throats. Not only have the Leafs failed to win a playoff round since 2004, they have been straight up torturing their fan base for the last five seasons. Because over the last five seasons, they have gone down in a winner-take-all game every single year. And they're 0-9 in the elimination games. Home for Game 7 against the two-time defending champs on Saturday. Loss. Game 7 against the Bruins in 2018. Loss. Game 7 against the Bruins in 2019. Loss. Game 5 of the bubble qualifying round in 2020 against Columbus. Loss. Game 7 against Canadiens last year. Loss. It's impossible, but it keeps happening. It's help me with this, Pervin. It's heartbreaking. It's devastating.
Heartbreaking.
Help me with this, Perv.
That's devastating.
It's devastating. It's heartbreaking. But the thing is, it's nothing new. Like, I want to say it's unfathomable, but they're 0-9 in elimination games. That's not easy to do. In fact, I didn't even think that was possible to do. But apparently it is, Leafs fan. So you and the organization are going to have to wear that. But it's not all bad, Canada. Not at all. In fact, out west, it's pretty damn good. Because the Battle of Alberta is back on. Flames, the Oilers, round two. I love that. Thanks to the best player in the world showing up huge in round one and game seven. The Oilers might have needed a win over the Kings on Saturday to keep that thing together and keep the best player in the world. Thankfully, the best player in the world got that team, that organization, the entire region on his back, Connor McDavid, and he made sure that he finished it himself.
Trying to find McDavid, he does, going to the net! Couldn't get the shot away, he still has it, wrap around backhand attempt, he still has it, he shoots, he scores! It's the Connor McDavid show, and it's 2-0 late in the third period of Game 7.
You know, I would say not that he had anything to prove, but there are a few idiots that thought that he had something to prove. This guy's incredible. I mean, he is amazing. And what a series that was. 4 goals, 10 assists, a plus 10, and 6 multiple-point games. The freak show is on the ice for 20 of their 26 goals in the series. Just the best player on the planet doing what the best player on the planet does. Again, he was on the ice for 20 of their 26 goals. And all that Saturday action was just a warm-up because yesterday was even more epic. 2 more Game 7s and both went to OT. The first one ended on this absolute snipe job at MSG.
Top the right circle, moves in, shoots, off the, it's in!
Oh, it's over!
Artemi Panarin scores, and the Rangers have won Game 7 in overtime!
Unbelievable!
Artemi Panarin in the far corner! The Rangers are moving on after another comeback victory!
Wow!
Seriously, that was, and I quote, unbelievable!
Unbelievable!
I mean, listen to the garden going ape bleep! The bread man! Scoring the big goal from a crazy angle. But the Rangers, radio caller man, stole the show. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Sums up the entire weekend, really. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And the unbelievable kept going right into the last game of the weekend. I'm talking about Bella B's Flames. And I'm talking about Johnny freaking Hockey.
To Gaudreau, he locks in front and drops, and then Holmes shoots it up. Sure, makes the right shoulder save. Gaudreau scores!
And the sea of red erupts! 4 wins down, 12 to go!
Unbelievable! All right, so that guy just said it best.
Unbelievable!
4 wins down... 12 to go. You have any idea how hard they had to grind to get those 4 wins? This is what I mean about the NHL postseason and why it's the best postseason. Because you have to win 16 games and 16 games like that. 4 games down, 12 to go? You have to win 12 more of those wars? And again, you want to talk about an angle, a crazy angle, a tiny window. He beat a guy that you could not beat all night long. And put it in the most impossible spot imaginable. Jake Oettinger, one of the greatest goaltending performances ever. The guy made 64 saves and still got beat. I mean, to say that this guy stood on his head, that's the line we always use to describe goaltenders who are out of their minds. To say that he stood on his head would be like an insult to those who actually stand on their head. I mean, he might have been the best athlete wearing a Dallas jersey yesterday. And I say that knowing that Luka was wearing a Dallas jersey yesterday. 64 saves and still got beat. This is what I mean about the NHL postseason. Give me the basketball equivalent of that. 64 saves and they lost. I mean, there's leaving it all out there and then there's that. So I will always honk for the NHL, but never more so than this time of year. You look at what happened in Phoenix in a Game 7. You look what happened between the Celtics and the Bucks in a Game 7. And then look at the NHL landscape in these Game 7s. You tell me what was better this weekend. When we come back.
Unbelievable.
It was, too. We'll talk some football. Chris Hubbard joins me next. Wait on that. Our phone lines are open. So, quick question. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Let's start with the fact that it is a family-run business. A family business which stands by quality and produces the world's best beef jerky. Now, I've made this point many, many times, and I want to make it again right now. Beef jerky is not just beef jerky. I think some of you go to the store, and you reach for the beef jerky, and you think it's all the same. In fact, you might not even know what you're buying. That's a big mistake. Stop making that mistake. All beef jerky is not the same. In fact, there's nothing like Old Trapper. It is simply the best. Four mouth-watering flavors, so you can get your choice of whatever you want. Myself, I like them all the same. I bounce back and forth between each and every one of them. So you can do the same thing. They come in 4-ounce bags. If you need to learn, do it that way. If you already know what you want, go with the 18-ouncer. That way there's enough for everybody. The entire unit, the entire family, the entire team. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. A tremendous Monday to you wherever you are. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Nice to be with you. Telephone numbers are, or it is toll-free. It's wide open, 1-800-636-8686. But right now, as promised, we are joined by an offensive lineman with the Cleveland Browns. He was an all-conference player at UAB. He is a mental health advocate. He is the founder of Overcoming Together Foundation. He was undrafted in 2013. The Browns are going to open up against Carolina on September 11th. It is a CBS game. Chris Hubbard is my guest. Chris, it has been a moment or two since you and I have caught up. Good to have you back on the show. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm just glad to be on the show, man. It has been a while. It has been a very long time. So it's good to be back and be able to have this talk with you, man. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. In fact, it's all coming back. I hear that voice, and it's all coming back to me. It's been a couple of years. Why don't you bring us up today, Chris? You've had a really challenging time the last couple of years on and off the field. You had two surgeries in the past 16 months alone. So let me start right there. Where are you at physically, and how anxious are you to get back on the field?
Man, physically, I'm in a great place, man. Been working my tail off to get back to where I'm at right now, and just been constantly, been in the training room and with my doctors, with my trainers, and being able to eat right. That's another part of like taking care of your body. A lot of people, forget to realize what you put in your body is what you're gonna get out. So, being able to be where I'm at today has been thanks to the team that I've been working with, man, and. I've been well, man. I've been really good. And, this has been more fuel to my fire, missing, the amount of time and, listening to the fans and how, what the season looks like. And honestly, just paying attention to the things that I wish I could have did it before, but I'm in a good space, man.
Talking to Chris Hubbard. Chris, I want to explain this for those who do not know. You tore your tricep in the opener last year, and you had a dislocated kneecap in December of 2020. Yeah. So these are the things you've had to come back from. When bad things happen, and they do to everybody, right, it seems to me you go one of two ways. You can shut it down, or you can dig in and see the adversity as an opportunity for growth. What was your mindset for dealing with all of this and overcoming the challenges the last 2 years?
Honestly, my mindset was I wanted to be back out there with the team, with the people that I've worked hard with, you know, in the off season. And my main thing was just being able to help the team to try to win the Super Bowl. I think that's one of the things that I look forward to is winning the Super Bowl. And that's what really fuels me to keep going, to keep playing, and to be able to stay in the right mind. I mean, a lot of people, you know, you can either go one way or the other, but I chose to do to be able to, you know, come back and be able to do something that I love. And I have a great support system, you know, to be able to get me mentally prepared to where I'm at right now. You know, family, you know, my friends, and then my girlfriend, you know. So I had a lot of people to be in my corner to get me to where I'm at today, in the right mind. So I thank them for putting me in the right place where I'm at today.
Chris Hubbard's joining us. You know, we talked about what it takes for you to come back physically, but then you also mentioned the mental aspect. Not only did you have to work on the physical health or the physical side, but you also made mental health a priority as well. In fact, you recently shared your story at the luncheon of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Summit. What was it like for you to be up there sharing your story publicly, and why did you decide to do that?
My biggest thing is, like, I want to let people know that I'm vulnerable about what space that I'm in, about sharing my story, and letting people know that you're not alone, and I'm human as well as them. You know, a lot of people think that when you're playing football, doing something that you love, that everything may be fine, like you don't have problems that you go through that goes on, but really, in reality, like, we all have problems too in this world. So I think that's my biggest step. And then also too, like, sharing this, I want to let the kids know, like, being able to let kids know, because I know kids struggle as well with mental health. And for me, if they're able to look at me and seeing how vulnerable I am to be able to share my story, then they may be able to get the help that they might need to share with their loved ones, or to anyone that they trust and care about, that be able to accept them, accept the conversation that they may want to have with that one person. So for me, it was easy to be able to come out and share my story, and being able to let people know that, you know, I'm human as well.
We're talking to Chris Hubbard. You know, Chris, it's one thing to say, listen, I think that on the outside, people look at you or others in your situation and say, I mean, I would trade places with that guy in a second. He has so many physical gifts. He has so much talent. He has so much money. And your point is, hey, listen, we all have lots of things, but we're not talking specifically about some of the things that you've had to endure. For instance, you were extremely close to your grandfather, and you lost him to prostate cancer when you were a freshman in college. As an example, what was your grandfather like, and then how big of a toll did that take on you?
Oh, man, my grandfather played a huge role, really huge role in my life, man. He was, like I said, like he was like my dad, like my second dad, man. Well, really, he is a granddad, he was like my best friend, man. We did a lot together. He showed me a lot of things in life, and he definitely, you know, inspired me to whatever I did or whatever that I wanted to do, to be great at it. And because I watched him be great at a lot of things that he did, whether it was cooking, whether it was painting someone's car that he had to finish working on, or, you know, whether it was cutting the grass, little small traits that I saw him do, like, I wanted to mirror that and to be great at whatever it is that I want to do. So it inspired me to just, you know, not take no for an answer. Be a man and you know, and kind of step up to the plate.
Chris Hubbard's my guest.
I think,
yeah, exactly, right? I think what we're talking about here is what goes on inside the helmet. I think fans do not understand that you have your life, you have your journey, you have your path, and oftentimes it's really challenging and heartbreaking. I want to mention one more person, your cousin Shannon Fields. He was just 19. You and he were extraordinarily close, very, very close, and he was murdered. What was he like, and how hard did that loss hit you?
I'm going to be the first to tell you, like, he, like, my cousin Shannon, man, he told me a long time before, like, I even had faith in myself that I would make it to the league. Like, it was almost like he saw the future before I even got there. And he was like, man, when you get there, I know you're going to make a lot of people proud, a lot of people happy. And he always believed in me, you know, when I didn't believe in myself. And I think that for me, like, he just told me to just keep driving, keep striving. Like, no matter what's going on in life, man, you're going to continue to do great things. And I believe I believe that every step of the way, I'll be right there with you. And for me, like, I always kept that in my mind, back of my mind. It was tough when he passed, when he was murdered. I took that really hard because that was, like, my best friend, man. That was, like, my best friend I was able to talk to and communicate with on a daily. Like, we literally talked every day, all day sometimes, just whether it was big or small. Like, we checked in with each other. And for me, that was a person that was my outlet, too, as well.
Chris, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate that you can speak openly about this because it's leading, it's getting me to a point that I want to make sure that I emphasize and I'm really emphatic about, and this is mental health, right? Because then, like, you finally make it. I mean, quote, you make it. You get to the league. You sign a huge deal with the Browns in 2018. You'd think, oh, that should fix everything, but it doesn't, does it? I mean, in some ways, does it actually create more pressure and make things even more difficult, more complex?
It does, man, because, you know, just because you think just because you have all this money doesn't mean that you're happy. And, you know, seeing that amount gives you anxiety as well because you think about the people that you love and you care about. And, you know, that requires a lot from you as well. Friends, you know, family, like, when money comes into play, man, it can be very taxing. And a lot of people don't understand that just because you have the money doesn't mean you're in a good place, because it can bring a lot out of a person that you've never seen before. And you can be like, man, wait a minute, what? I didn't think this person would be like this towards me, you know, when it came to getting a certain contract or having this amount of money or whatever it is. I would like to say that money isn't everything,
you know? You bet. Not a chance. And it starts to reveal people's true character. So where does that leave us? You know, you had to get to a point where, and it's not easy in the world you live in, to say, I need help. I need help. How hard was it for you to ask help? And then when did you finally get that help and turn to therapy? And what did that do for you and your mental health?
It took me quite some time to really buy into to get help. And it wasn't just, you know, therapy. I have friends, like, you know, people that were around me, and then my girlfriend, like, being able to help me through these times of, like, I didn't know where I wanted to start, like, or to talk about. Like, I would be angry, like, I'd be upset, like, I'd be, you know, different mood swings, man. It was just a toll of, you know, everything that you can think of. Dealing with emotionally, mentally, and physically, because during that time, and I had lost a lot of weight, and I was above, I was not at the right weight that I needed to be at. And, you know, honestly, it almost caused me to want to quit playing football. So, I think for me, like, the best thing is having the people that really love you. Having that support system of people that you can talk to and trust, and being able to pray with, to be able to consult with and talk and to just be your best self. Be very vulnerable, you know, about what's going on. So I think that's the main thing, being vulnerable.
Because, you know, we talked about
and also having a safe space, too.
Uh-huh. You know, we've talked about your support group. The one person in that group we have not talked about is your son, Creed. How old is he now, and what's he like?
Creed is 5 now, man. He's amazing. He's amazing. He's the one person that, you know, one person that I look at and just immediately just smile. Like, he, with everything going on, man, he always looks at me like I'm his biggest hero. And for me, I think that's what keeps me going and keeps me doing the things that I do, you know, for him and for my family. And you know, he's always amazing. He's smiling. He loves football. He loves sports in general. So, I mean, how can he not? He's been around some of the top, you know, athletes, been in the locker room before. So he has people to look up to, you know.
That is so awesome. Chris Hubbard's joining us. So later this month, on May 28th and 29th, you're going to host the Cars and Coffee Rally. It's for mental health. Can you lay that out for me? Exactly what is that all about?
So basically, I'm into cars. I love cars. Always been a part about cars. And coffee, you know, that's how you wake up in the morning. You know, that's like the best way of waking up. You know, you heard Folgers in your cup. But, you know, for me, I think they go both hand in hand, but also it's just raising the awareness of, you know, what mental health really means and how we can all together break the stigma together and be a force and join forces together and just, you know, make sure that it's being talked about more. So I think that's the main thing for having that, this event.
That is absolutely the main thing. You have to have that dialogue. You have to have that rapport. So really quickly, you're going to be in Southeast Ohio on SR-555, also known as the Triple Nickel. What is that stretch of road like as a driver?
Oh, man, it's a you better have great tires, man. I will tell you that.
Right.
Better have great tires, and you better hold on being able to have two hands on the wheel instead of one. So make sure that you know what you're doing. You're paying very close attention because it is a tight turn. So it's amazing. You got to know when to let on the gas and when not to let on the gas.
Sounds like a great time. It's May 28th and 29th. Cars and Coffee. That rally is for mental health. My guest, Chris Hubbard. Chris, I looked at it. We last talked in 2020. So great to get caught up with you. You do sound like you're in a great headspace and you're good physically. Anxious to see you back on the field. And it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much and good luck with all that stuff.
Thank you so much, Brother Jim. I appreciate you, man, for having me on the show. And thank you for your time, man. I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you very much. And I appreciate your time. And there's no telling how many people you help with that. It's so true. I think everybody is dealing with something. And when you see somebody like that saying, you know what, you got to be vulnerable. You have to open yourself up. You have to get help. You have to have a support group around you. You do not need to do it yourself. I'm in no way a mental health expert, but it's just becoming more and more of a topic and less taboo. You hear that over and over again. You have to ask for help. You got to start somewhere. And he did. So I'm glad that he could share his story and be as vulnerable as he is. We will take a short time out and then we will come back. Then when we do, I'll have an ATP, ask me anything you want, and phone lines are still open, wide open. Here is your bottom of the hour sports update. Let's get the ATP in here. Also known as the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Man, this guy cannot get enough. This guy loves this segment. It's almost like he's got this Lou Gehrig streak, and he doesn't want to lose it. My guy Edward Marino from San Diego will be doing a lap around the stadium, high-fiving everybody. Mr. Rome, if you were losing your hair, would you shave your head bald, wear a toupee, or get hair implants? Respectfully, Edward Marino from San Diego. Eddie, respectfully, Eddie. I mean, I'll let you know when the time comes. In the meantime, go ask Ritt. He had to make that decision like 50 years ago.
Game on.
I don't know. Ryan in Sacktown. JR, is anyone else in the Rome house allowed to hit the Peloton? Rhino out. Hashtag ATP. First of all, Rhino, no self-glossing, dude. You know this.
Don't do that.
You know what? Don't do that.
Don't do that.
I'm not proud of this. And it's going to come off bad. And the reason it's going to come off badly is because it is bad. I'll own it. No. No one else is allowed on it. However, I have countered with, I will get you another one, fam. But mine is mine. Why you gotta be a pig, Rome? Because it's mine. I'll give you a few reasons. This is just me. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm proud of it. I'm just being very real about this. My Peloton is in my office slash gym. It's the old man's space. We all need a little space, right? Don't you need a place to go to? That's my cave. But it's not a cave like a man cave where I'm pounding beers and watching games. It's my space where I work. It's the moneymaker, right? It's where I got to keep my head right. It's where I got to keep my body sound. It's where I got to do my prep. And the other thing about the Peloton, honestly, I don't clip in and clip out. I leave my shoes in. I never clip out. So what that would mean is somebody else or somebody's else, different shoes, in my workspace, in my headspace. The answer is no. However, I'm not saying we have a Peloton and I'm the only one who can use it. I said to Dr. Jano, let's get another one. She's like, no, why would we spend the money on another one? We already have one. And I said, because, insert all these reasons, I will get another one. She's like, no, we can't justify that. I'm like, okay, then I'm the only one who rides. So that's how we've done that. And my phone's blowing up, which means she must be listening. Let's see here. Rome, I've heard the Ionic soundbite drop during an Old Trapper ad read.
Ionic.
But only once a long while ago. What is the XR4TI's policy on soundbite drops during interviews and ad reads? Tyler in the OC. All right, first of all, Ty, can I call you Ty? There is no XR4TI policy. There's an Alvin policy.
Ionic.
Alvin is the only one who has access to the sound library. Alvin, what is your policy? None during interviews. Limited during ad reads. Unless it's Trico. That's Alvin's take. So there's no actual XR4TI policy. It's the Alvin policy. Hi, Jim. Would you take your car or your cat to Surf and Suds? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. All right, in case you don't know, we found out. He didn't own up to it or cop to it for a long time. But after James Kelly worked for me for like 10 years, he admitted a few things to me because he knew I was going to find out. But only after 10 years. One of the things he admitted to me was he owned a car wash. I did not know that. The other thing, now he's trying to tell me I'd give you a discount. Well, that's very big of you, big head. Do I need a coupon? Do I need a little punch card where after I get 100 washes that I pay for, I get one for half price? Are you going to throw in that sealer wax or that air freshener after 1,000 washes? Then he said, it took 10 years for him to cop to that. And then the other day during Big Head Bets, he admits to me he's building a cat wash into his car wash. That's why Bella is asking, would you take your car or your cat to Surf and Suds? My answer is no. Neither. I'll go to Wash and Wax. I'd run my cat through that before I'd let your people wash my cat, dude. So, Head, somebody hits us earlier today before the show starts and says, I'm going to head on over to Surf and Suds and see if Big Head's there. Why do I have this vision? And I hadn't really thought about it until that guy said that. Why do I have this vision, Head, of you being in this tiny little backwards closet that you've set up as an office and you're doing your, quote, work from there for this show, but you're really actually doing car wash related things and telling the people building the cat wash how to do it? See what else we got here.
Razorbacks.
Razorbacks. Jimmy Jim, why do all your friends have funny names like Woody, Spots, and Boomer? That's actually very funny. All right. Boomer, you mean Norman Esiason? You mean that Boomer? Ask Boomer. I don't know the answer to that. Spots is not his actual name, believe it or not. His name is Richard. He has lots of freckles, so somebody glossed him Spots back in the day, and it stuck. And it was especially funny when my old man, my father, Jay, would hit him with the Spots. Hey, Spots, what's up? Spots had a job, my guy Richard. What up, Tig? I changed Spots to Tig because one day he tried to cut the line at the check cashing spot at UC Santa Barbara, and some guy hit him with, easy, Tiger. So then I just started calling him Tiger, which I shortened to Tig. Woody Tiger. And I are fast friends now, but I haven't known Woody that long. So next time I see Woody at Eagle River, I'll ask him. Woody's great, dude. And by the way, you clones, you'd love this guy. Woody's like 6'5", and a dude now. And nobody can have a pancake breakfast like this guy. And his wife, Molly, has already informed me that he's stepping his game up this summer. Beach Call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're close to convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. I can't wait till Woody and I do an Instagram Live this summer. My first one. See you then. We're out.